All right, today's guest is a sister I've been trying to get on this show. I wanted to do it 2 episodes ago, but obviously my personal life came into the balance and I talked about that more than I wanted to talk about what I really actually wanted to talk about. So I'm glad to have this sister on. But I first must say, when I first saw her page, I swear I thought Molly from Insecure had woken up because she looked so similar to her. I was like, oh, where? She woke up. But after I saw it, I was like, nah, she's so far ahead of the game right now. This is Mikayla Bryant. Thanks you for joining my show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to start off. Give a little introduction about yourself. How did you come into this walk and where are you from? And, you know, how has life been for you before and after this walk?
So I'm Mikayla, and I graduated from Tuskegee University in 2017. And that's when I would say I started my walk, probably like my senior year, commissioned into the United States military as an officer in the Air Force. And that's when I woke up to me actually being an Israelite. Like, I was in the military when I woke up. You know, I was just reading my Bible one day, read Deuteronomy 28, everything made sense. And then, you know, it's been history ever since. So when I woke up to that truth, that's when I felt led to get out of the military. And since then, I've been letting, you know, Yah lead me in, you know, whatever capacity has me, you know, wherever I need to serve. Mm-hmm. So that's just been my journey, you know, since then.
And I want you to elaborate. What are your thoughts on Israelites, awakened and unawakened, into the United States military? Do you think it's beneficial, or you think that only hinders our obedience to Yah?
That's a tough one. You know, so me, for example, when I woke up and I was in the military, it was difficult for me because I knew that I didn't belong here at all. And the thing with the military is that you can't just say, you know, I'm not showing up to work tomorrow. You know, you have to continue working and you have to go through a process in order to get out of the military. So it wasn't like an overnight thing. I got out under a conscientious objector, which is an honorable discharge. But, you know, I will say this, it was a blessing that I woke up when I was in the military, because when you start looking at a lot of these camps on the corner, not all of them, but a lot of them, I found out about them when I was in the military. And I was like, you know what, let me not be affiliated with them because I don't want that to interfere with me being in the military. So it was really a blessing in disguise. And then when I'm out, you see like the real deal with these camps and, you know, how they actually started.
So I'm gonna start off with us first, because I think men should be the head of, Yah said men are the head of the household. What do you see a problem first with the unawakened men? What do you think is the downfall of today's unawakened man?
No leadership. Lack of leadership. I feel like men who are not awake, not that they're incapable of leading, but it hinders their leadership and how they're able to lead properly. Especially with the military, when you're dealing, you know, it's a predominantly, you know, male organization. A lot of men who don't know who they are, they're okay with being in the military. They're okay with the organization and, you know, submitting underneath that organization. But if you're a male and you wake up to you being an Israelite in the military, there's absolutely no way you'd be able to stay under that system. Again, I feel like the biggest thing is just the leadership that's lacking.
And then when we get into, obviously, we all been through the system with the camps, and it started out good. It started out informative. It started out with a specific spirit that we were encouraged to develop, because we never seen brothers talk about scriptures the way they talked about it live. We just never saw that. I grew up in, you know, a Christian church. And so we pulled from Christianity and try to see how is it different having these camps around different from the pastors that we grew up on. And what do you think now is the problem with now the Israelite man, or the man not necessarily involved with these camps, because we now know what they are, but the energy that that produces, what do you see as the snares of the pit when it comes to these camps, also with the awakened Israelite man?
So there's a lot going on, actually. So one thing that I know about men, you know, I'm not trying to generalize, but they gravitate towards leadership, towards structure, towards like militant leadership. So one thing about these camps is that it's attractive to men. So say like a, you know, a man, he wakes up to him being the Israelite, he's going to be attracted to the, you know, the camps. The problem is that is, that's the plan for them to join the camps, mm-hmm. and then the camps will lead them astray. That's one thing that I've noticed with the camps is very militant and is male dominant. So a lot of our men, they're like, oh, well, I'm an Israelite. And they, first off, when you wake up to you being an Israelite, you're probably angry, mm-hmm. you know, to this truth. So you have that anger in you. And then, cause I felt angry when I was in the military, I was angry. Then I started looking at, you know, like white people crazy. just to be honest, but that's because I was watching these camps and I was like, you know what, let me back up. Let me do my own research. Let me read the word for myself. And then that's when I found out, you know, like the whole truth and not just half the truth. But a lot of times when you wake up to the truth, initially, you had that anger and then you find out about these camps and you automatically want to join these camps. They're very militant, very structured. So a lot of our men get caught up in that. And then these camps are leading them astray. I mean, I wouldn't say they're doing more harm than good per se, mm-hmm. because they have some of the truth, but I just see the game that's being played in regards to these camps.
And how's that look on as far as how is that image hurt or help our women? Because I know right now women are contacting me and they're pouring their hearts out looking for their covering and waiting for their covering. And I think for the females, when they wake up, the first thing after they come into this truth is, okay, now I must prepare myself for my covering. And they feel like once time goes by and the covering's not coming, they get frustrated. So what should women look for? Not necessarily the man of the camp or awakened man or a man that's still asleep, but what's the key components that women should look for when they are trying to understand their covering?
Me personally, I feel like the biggest thing, because like I'm going through that right now, mm-hmm. I feel like the biggest thing women should be focused on is what Yah wants them to do. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like the covering, like focusing on the man. Mm-hmm. You know, what does Yah want you to do? Right? You know, seek first the kingdom and all his righteousness and everything else shall be added onto you. Mm-hmm. So my focus now is what does Yah want me to do? How does he want me to serve? Because the covering is coming. Mm-hmm. So that's like my advice to women. I also wouldn't really see it's difficult because you don't want to put like the camps all in one group. Like I know all the camps are not bad,
right?
You know, some of the camps is a little obvious because of the symbolism. It's like, okay, the symbolism, they're clearly controlled opposition, you know. Mm-hmm. But not everybody is privy to that. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say, oh, don't join a community, but I feel like especially for women, they need to be focused on what Yah wants them to do, not so much what can I do to prepare for this man? Because Yah is going to prepare you for a man by you just focusing on what he wants you to do.
Right. I mean, I think that it's so tough. But on both sides, it's tough. I know brothers are struggling. I think it's been such a divide in society that men versus women, and especially in our community, is Black man versus Black woman. And how can we fight through that? Like, what can we do to actually join? I don't know if it can be fixed. I only think Yah can fix it, but what can we do from the ground up that really can fix the relations between man and woman?
That's like such a complex question because it's like not one thing. First and foremost, your foundation has to be, what does Yah want you to do? Mm-hmm. There's things, when you read the word, he's going to speak to you differently for the fact that you're a man versus how he's going to speak to me. So the first thing we need to be doing is getting in the word, and what does he want us to do? How does he want us to live righteous? How do you even live righteous?
Right.
Because once you do that, especially with men, then that's where the leadership comes into play. Like, you'll naturally develop these leadership qualities because first off, Yah wants men to lead anyways. Mm. So he's going to guide you in how to do that, right? I think another thing people can do, like physically in the now, is to come out of these systems. You know, I talk a lot, and you know, I talk a lot about the military organizations, Greek organizations. It starts there. It starts detaching yourself, coming out of these organizations, because that's when you're in spiritual right standing with Yah, and he's able to even talk to you, right? Because really, where the men go, the women naturally follow.
Right.
I mean, if we're being honest, like, so.
Have you ever had, have you ever joined a Greek society, or you know family members who are in that? I know you speak out about it, but what made you speak out about Greek?
So the reality is that the military is a Greek organization. It's just not advertised as such. It's Greek, Roman. It's the same foundation. So once I found out about the military, everything just kind of made sense. Now, to answer your question, I've never joined a D9. I've never joined. I know people who are in it. You know, I went to an HBCU, went to Tuskegee. So I had like friends who are in it, but I never personally joined a D9 organization. But since I joined the military, which is just a Roman or Greek organization,
right,
it was like the same principles.
Oh, okay. So what are you doing right now to prepare? I know we the bank collapses and all that, and a lot of people are scared and trying to take their money out. I always advise to go against it. What are you doing to prepare in these last days?
So one thing that I did when I was living in Florida, I actually got food, like canned goods, you know, water, things of that nature. That's what I was doing to physically prepare. In terms of money, I used to be somebody who would think you need to take your money out the bank. But then I thought about it and I was like, that it doesn't matter whether you take it out or you keep it in the bank. Investing, well, let me ask you a question. Investing in gold and silver, because that doesn't lose its value over time. Not sure what your thoughts on that are.
No, I think it's smart. I think if you're going to invest in something that you can touch, that's something that's tangible, something that is backed by something. And I think they scared a lot of people off back in the old days before they switched over to this debt monetary system, that they tell you what was the bread and butter of this civilization coming to where it is now, by being backed by something. That's why most people had a lot of power economically in like the 1700s, 1800s, because of the gold rush and all that. So it was backed by something. Now our money is backed by anything. It's just, it can be gone just like that. And you see the, you know, all the banks right now are losing or hemorrhaging money because of their stock value. But if we actually invested in something like resources, not only just gold and silver, but of course water and things like that, it really can save us in the long run. I truly believe we're going to have our second exodus, where we can have the pick of all the stuff that we want. And I think right now is just, it's really all about being smart with your money. I don't really get in too much into Bitcoin. Do you get much into Bitcoin?
I could never get into it for the simple fact that, you know, if they turn it off, I mean, your money's gone. I don't know. It just didn't, I never got into it, to be honest.
Right. So actually putting your money into something that's actually tangible is it really is a good plan. I just don't like people saying, oh, I'm gonna take my money out, because obviously we've seen history on top of history of people taking their monies out of the bank, and the inflation catching, then your money in the cash is laid in the street, or you got to make art with it. Like, it's insane right now, but people are so scared and panicky that they don't have a foundation to pull from. And that's usually the truth. that people don't come into? Is what do you think is the hardest part about people coming into this truth? Like we talk, we're talking about all races and all, you know, male, female, whatever. It doesn't matter to us. We're just telling the truth. Why do you think some people are so attached to this world and thinking this world is going to save them for what's coming?
Because people gotten comfortable. I know our people have gotten comfortable. You know, I was thinking, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking about this earlier when I was just having conversations with myself. I was just like, you know, y'all did not bring us over here to make America great. He brought us over here because we were being punished. We were being judged. And a lot of us have forgotten that. And a lot of us, since we don't know who we are, we don't even know that's the purpose of us being over here.
Right.
So we think, okay, well, you know, we're in America. Let's just make the best of it. Right. And then you have another thing I would say is just pride. You know, I built this country from the ground up, blood, sweat, and tears, and that, like, yeah, it's going to be tough. And you're really going to have to get to the point where mentally, you're just going to have to leave people behind.
Right.
Unfortunately, people have mentally, emotionally, spiritually attached themselves to Babylon, to this system. It's really from trauma. Because how can somebody keep on mistreating you and then you still want to be with them?
Right.
But again, it's just going to take the power of Yah to have people detach from this system. And some people aren't going to, and that's the sad reality.
Right. And what do we do? I mean, obviously we pray for them and all that, but the compassion of it, if we give them too much, I feel like if we give them too much compassion, they're going to drag us with us. Because it comes to a point where you have to separate yourself from these specific type people, even if they're relatives or loved ones, you have to separate them for a time for them to understand what this walk is truly about. And I feel as more we pray for them and be compassionate to them, I feel like it's enabling them to continue in the same process because they think we always be there for them. I think that's the hardest part. I don't know if you learned that with your relatives. Like, how have you been able to talk your relatives through this process?
Well, the first thing I had to do was set boundaries for myself. You know, realize that I'm nobody's savior. It doesn't matter how big of a heart I have, how much I want you to come with me. At the end of the day, it is really between you and the Most High. Is this what you want to do? You know, it is truly a personal journey. I feel like people think that they're going to, you know, be a part of the Exodus or get in on somebody else's account. Like, no, you have to walk this walk yourself. So the first thing I did was set boundaries for myself, realize that I'm nobody's savior. I'm only one person. Right? Two, tell them the truth lovingly and, you know, be an example. Don't just say, do this, do this. Like, actually be the example. And try to show them and tell them like why it's important, you know, and really love them. And I know people are like, well, you love them. You know, love doesn't mean to accept the bad behavior, right? I think love, you know, it's patience, it's kindness. It's going to take patience for somebody to change. It's going to take you being kind to them for somebody to change. It's long suffering. It's going to take long suffering, you know, for somebody to change.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if they don't change, because that's on them, what can you do? All you can do really is pray to Yah and keep it pushing and not look back.
That's always been the toughest part is the long suffering part. And I know we always go like, I can't wait for this person for 2 months or 3 months. And then we forget Yah has been waiting on us for years and decades for us to turn. But at the same time, I mean, like, man, I am not Yah. I cannot. It's hard to do it. It's hard to be patient with people because it's so agitating because Yah been around for ages. We only have a sliver of life to actually enjoy as much as we can before this whole world get flipped over on its side. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You're completely right with the long suffering part. That's something that I definitely struggle with. What are one of the things you struggle with in this walk?
I would say the patience and the long suffering, for sure. I've always felt like ever since I came into the truth, I've always had to overcome. You know, adversity was always thrown my way. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, do you even love me? Which is crazy. It's crazy to think, but sometimes I feel like what I go through in my life is like, okay, you start thinking like, man, it was better not to be in the truth than it was to be in the truth. And we all know that's crazy to think that way, but you know, it does feel that way sometimes, especially when you're dealing with, you know, family members that might be a little stubborn. But you still love them, but they're a little stubborn. So I would say like the long suffering has definitely been the struggle for me. And another thing that I would say, the story of Jonah, when the Most High told him to go to Nineveh to warn them to repent. And Jonah was like, no, I'm good on that. And he left. You know, people think that Jonah was like scared. He was a coward. No, I read that book the other day and I was like, I didn't get that from Jonah. Mm-hmm. I felt like Jonah, he was a Hebrew and we know how our people are. Mm-hmm. It was more of a, that's their business. That don't got nothing to do with me. You know, like that's how I felt Jonah was. And I feel like Jonah sometimes like, you know, is a little selfish of me, but that's y'all. That's on y'all. If y'all want to disobey the Most High, then okay, go ahead. That got nothing to do with me and mine over here. Mm-hmm. Right? But you can't think that way. And at the end of the day, y'all always brings me back. And it's like, it's not about you, Michaela. So, yeah.
What were you in a religion before you woke up? Like, what would you grow up as?
So I didn't really grow up as anything. Like, I wasn't in the church, but I wasn't outside of it either.
Okay.
You know, so I would be that person like, oh, I believe in God, but I would only go to church on special occasions. You know, so my mom was really the one who, if it wasn't for her, to be honest, I probably wouldn't be in the Bible at all.
I guess, yeah. I mean, well, you saved yourself from that Baptist Christian religion, because that jumping up and down and falling out and screaming and yelling, I thought that's how you got the Spirit. So when you didn't jump up and down and hoop, holler and fall out, the Holy Spirit just wasn't messing with you on that day. But yeah, you're lucky for missing all that. Did you do the holidays still at that time?
Yeah, so I celebrated the holidays, but it's funny because as I got older, I felt like it was more of a burden. You know, it's time to put the tree up. And it's like, I'm grown. Like, I don't want to put the tree up. Like, I naturally, you know, like, it wasn't fun anymore at 6 years old. It's like, it's okay. But naturally, as I got older, I started to pull back from the holidays already. And then I found out the truth about it. So I was like, oh, this must be the reason why I feel this way.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is going to happen to this world? What do you think, as far as this system, what do you think is going to happen?
I ponder on this a lot. I feel like is going to collapse, as we all know. The judgments are going to happen. The problem is, it actually reminds me how everything is transpiring. It reminds me of what happened back in the 40s in Germany. I feel like it's mirroring that, to be honest with you. Because when you study that history and you study what led up to that, a lot of what led up to that is happening again now. Especially when you're talking about like taking out the books in the school systems and stuff, like they were, you know, getting rid of their books over there. One thing about war is that war doesn't just happen out of the blue sky. Mm-hmm. It takes years to lead up to it. And I see the same thing happening now.
But I'm curious, who's going to be, well, we're set aside. They never mention us when it comes to all these programming and psyops. It's always the same characters. And they always talk about the Jews all the time in World War II. But who are going to be the people that they're going to actually go after to kind of make this work, to make this fascism work? Because I already know when we look at all this dystopian movies like Demolition Man, all these movies, they always had a little small niche of people who rebelled, who were able to defraud the system. But this is a new thing for us. So spiritually, we already know we're set apart. So who do you think is going to be the guinea pigs to be the Jews in place of what's going to happen in the new fascist regime? They have to make an example out of somebody.
Oh, it's going to be us.
Really? You think so? This is when we go to the Jacob's Trouble?
Yep.
Okay.
It's going to be us, but it's not going to be marketed as such. It's going to be us, and it's going to be people who believe in Yah, like Gentiles.
Mm.
But it's not going to be marketed as such. I think about, for example, I think about what happened during the pandemic, how they had to shut all the businesses down.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, oh, this is what we should be doing because this virus is going around. What people didn't really think about was that how it affected, you know, Hebrew Israelites. Mm-hmm. It was crazy seeing our people saying, oh, you should shut the businesses down. And I'm like, y'all, they're affecting our businesses.
Right.
Do you not see what's going on? Yeah, the target is going to be the Gentiles who believe in Yah, is going to be us, but is not going to be marketed as such.
Mm-hmm. So if it all goes down, you still got that military knuck and buck in you? Or you just going to pray?
I'm going to put action behind my faith. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, no. I just think it's in me naturally. I don't know what it is. It can't be the military. I feel like I was this way before I even got in. I feel like I've always been this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I ain't sitting around.
I'm curious of what that would look like, because I can't imagine them coming to our doors and finding out who we are. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm sure they're going to do it through AI and do it through our posts and our Instagrams. I know that's going to get shut off any minute now. And I think from there, they're going to basically know where we're at. And so I always think about that. Like, what's going to happen? Like, how are they going to pull us out? Are they going to put us in jail? Well, it always says that some of us would be in jail for 10 days. So I'm glad that the book of Revelation actually states, if those who are scared of getting pulled out of our house or ended up in prison, you know it's 10 days. So you might as well start counting as soon as you set foot in the prison. But I don't think people are really actually understanding in this walk that it could be wartime, that you could be, you know, apprehended or you could be assaulted, and you shouldn't lose faith. And I think that's what the system preys upon, is you being scared and being fearful. So have you seen or understood anybody being such in fear that they lose the faith? Because it says in the last days, people will start losing faith because the wickedness will exceed the righteousness at that point in time.
I've seen it personally with some family members. I think the first time I saw it in action was with the pandemic.
Okay.
You know, because that was a period where it was testing your faith. You know, if all they had to do was say, hey, you need to get this or you're going to lose your job, and people are like lining up to, you know, get their solution. I mean, that's all it took. you took the solution to go on vacation. You know, you could have waited. You know, I left the country a few months ago and they weren't checking at all. I didn't have to get tests done, anything. And wow. I was like, all you had to do was wait, you know, and then do what you needed to do. So I feel like that's when they start putting restrictions on you. Oh, you can't do this unless you do this. People are going to put their faith to the wayside and then, you know, succumb to what the world wants them to do.
Right. How was you being a female, unawakened and awakened, dealing with the feminist doctrine? I know that's very heavy. On you women, did you succumb to it, or did you fight against it, or you understood it?
Honestly, I feel like the feminist doctrine doesn't really apply to me as like a Black woman. I know I'm Israelite, but a Black woman, I feel like that doesn't apply to me. Like, I never could really get into it. Now, I understand the you know, oh, I'm misindependent. Like, I understand that mindset, but I never felt like that whole movement was for us. Mm. I personally feel like it was geared towards white women, but we became the face of it.
Mm-hmm. How so?
So, like, when they're talking about, you know, equal pay, I agree. You should be getting equal pay. You know, I'm okay. But when it comes to, you know, like, who's the leader? Like, a lot of white women feel like they're beneath their husbands. You know, they haven't had a say. Mm-hmm. So it's them who have really the issue with, you know, not having a voice, right? Mm-hmm. And us Black women, that's not our fight. I feel like that's not our fight. Mm-hmm. You know, we've always had to work. Ever since we got off the boat, we've always had to work. Mm-hmm. We had to work. Our Black men had to work. Our Black children had to work. So how is that even about us? You know, right. We need structure. We were prospering when we had a family unit. Mm-hmm. But now that we don't have a family unit, it's affecting us. A lot of Black women aren't married anymore. They're not being protected anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like a lot of white women, they just, of course, not all, but a lot of them, it's more so about like their needs being met mm-hmm. than everybody else, really.
And you think this is done purposely through media, music, like, where did you see it really bubble at? Is it too much of the movies or too much of the music that's really, really, I don't know how to say it, really confusing the minds of females, or especially Black females?
The movies or the music? I'd say the music, only because I feel like people listen to more music than watch movies. Mm-hmm. I remember I was in college. I would like listen to, you know, some music. And that's very influential. Mm-hmm. And I think, so one thing about music is that it goes into your subconscious, right? So when you're listening to stuff, like, you're filling yourself up with like those type of lyrics. So you might not act on it, but you are subconsciously training yourself to think that way. So when you're listening to "I don't need no man, I'm independent" and stuff, and over time, that seed that's been planted is going to grow and is going to have a harvest. What do you think it's going to be?
Right.
You know, and movies too, but I would say more music than movies.
Okay.
Yeah. I do see in movies, though, it's kind of played out now. The whole independent Black woman, "I don't need no man." Mm. You know, and it's kind of old now.
Right. I know they got that, those TV show, the TV show called Harlem. I think it was like four. They tried to do like a Black Sex in the City.
Oh, really? See, I honestly don't watch TV like that. So I don't, you know.
I only know it because I hear it. Like, I hear women talk about it. Like, you could tell, like, it doesn't matter what you say to them, they're going to watch it anyway. But I understand now, they go from one thing to the other. And it's like, you have to continually to fill yourself up with that feminist doctrine, because it empties out. Once you get to the bottom of it, and knowing that men ain't really checking for you, your covering not checking for you, the spirituality isn't there, you go look for more and more and more. And they go from Hulu to Fox to Peacock. It's like, it's never ending. And I think for men, it's not as bad, because you literally have basketball players. You got, right now, you got Ja Morant, and you got, it's like, it's not, it's just, it ain't there for Black men like it used to be. Like, before, it was the 90s. It was nothing but 90s hip hop rap that had us talking wild and crazy to women. And I think now that it's shifted, now it's the doctrine has actually made men weaker. What do you think is the, well, I know what's the cause of men being weaker. A lot of it comes from not having a father around, not having a father figure. But what do you see is the problem why the emasculating of men, especially Black men, has been, I think, more accepted than it has been in the earlier years?
More accepted. One, because our leaders aren't saying anything. you know, I feel this is why I kind of get on pastors, especially Black pastors in the community, because I look at them as leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, if our leaders aren't saying anything, what do you think everybody else is going to do? They're not going to say anything. Well, our leaders aren't talking about it. I guess it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, it irritates me as a woman when men do not step up and speak out against things that are wrong.
Right.
Because a part of me is like, okay, well, are we just going to let the, you know, it, I'm glad you brought that up.
Come on, let's get into it.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because here's the thing, from my personal perspective, if a man doesn't speak up or a leader in the community doesn't speak up, right, then I feel like it's left on the woman to say something, mm-hmm. right? So then it's like we're pushed into this role that is not like we want the role, but if you're not going to say anything, something has to be said. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll step up and say it. And then the world is like, oh, the Black women are so strong and independent and they're speaking out against stuff. It's like, no, our men should be doing that.
Mm. Huh. Right.
You know, why aren't you guys doing that? And it really irritates me when men are like, oh, go on, girl. And, you know, why do we have to be on the front line?
Right.
You know, you don't see that anywhere else but our community, Black women on the front line. Why do we have to we have to be on the front line? No, that's y'all's job.
I mean, I'd be seeing like y'all look like y'all love it. Y'all love having the bullhorn and standing up and yelling and screaming and getting drug away by police. But I'm like, y'all feel like y'all love that. No?
You know, I would say like a minority of us love it, but the majority, you know, no. I mean, we can't be weak and do that. You know, we have to put on this facade. And it's not, I'm not saying that we're not strong and all that. But we have to kind of like put on this facade, you know, or else nothing's going to get done. That's how I feel personally. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'd rather a man do that and I'd be focusing on something else, like teaching the community, mm-hmm. not having to teach and then go out and fight as well.
Right. What do you want men to stand up and speak more about?
Unrighteousness, you know, that's it. That's why we are suffering as a community. Unrighteousness, you know, taking accountability in relationships, for one. You know, I see way too many, and I've said this before, I see way too many like single Black women, you know, with babies. And then it's kind of like, oh, well, you didn't choose the men correctly. It's like, well, men need to step up to their responsibility, right? That's what men should be doing. They should be leading, right? Now, women take accountability, of course, but men should be leading. That's what I want to see. I want to see them step up and lead, talk about unrighteousness, right? Call that out. That shouldn't be acceptable. Mm-hmm. Mm. Because think about it. If you're promoting unrighteousness, you're promoting going against Yah. Right. And Yah is going to make sure you don't prosper if you are rebellious against him.
But are men really ready for that responsibility? Because they have to see it from somewhere. They have to see an image. I think men, Black, especially Black men, have to see an image of a man doing it right. And for them, it's not. There's nothing on TV for them to look at and say, all right, this is how it's done. And even in some of the other brothers that I've seen, like a lot of people post RZA Islam and 19 Keys and those type of brothers, but you already know what those brothers stand for. They can only do so much. But I think, I don't know if it's the simpness in it. I don't know what it is, but it's like women don't want men to be really masculine. It's like it causes like some fear panic that I'm making a woman change. Like he's trying to change me or he's trying to boss me. It's not necessarily none of those things. It's just the emasculating of men have gone all the way down to the bottom of the ground that you literally, if you go a step above that, not even much, a step above that, then you're a toxic male or a toxic masculinity comes up. And I'm trying to understand, what is it that specifically that women want to see, or what do men need to see for it to be done? Because men aren't reading the scriptures because they don't see it. If they read it, there's nothing in their brain is going to turn a light on and say, all right, this is what y'all looks like, and this is how it's supposed to look like. It's impossible for them to do that. So how can it, what do they need to see in order for men to be like, all right, this is how it's done, and I want to do it by myself and not need necessarily need to join a camp or join a clique or a community, but how can I do it enough to where I could do it by myself? What's the starting point a men should look for to starting it for themselves?
Well, one thing's for sure is that they can't rely on somebody showing them like physically. I think that that's something that hinders us is like, oh, I can't be this great man because I've never seen one in my life. Mm. I feel like that hinders men and like just people in general. Take it back again, it might sound cliche. It goes back to finding out who you are in the word of God. Mm-hmm. Because when you know who you are, you walk with a little swag to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you start, the change starts internally. Mentally, you're like, oh, I am somebody. If I am somebody, I have to carry myself like that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I get on these pastors, these Black pastors, because if a Black pastor came out and said that, people would listen. Our community has always ran to the pastors. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to finding out who you are. That's the key. That's what changed me mentally, finding out that I'm Israelite. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, I would think I was, you know, a good person in this world before I was Israelite. But when I found out I was one, I carried myself different. I didn't seek, you know, white people for validation. Hmm. You know, because what am I seeking your validation for? Y'all already validated me. Hmm. You know, so the mental change starts when you find out who you are. And then the physical change is going to naturally happen. But if we're waiting around for somebody to show us the way, when somebody already came and showed us the way, if we're waiting around, you know, somebody showed me the way, then we're going to be waiting here forever. Right. Somebody already came and showed us the way.
For you, how did you wake up? What did you see, a verse, or did you see a publication or YouTube channel? What did you see that was like, wow, now I know who I am? What did you see?
I was literally in my apartment and I was reading the book of Esther, mm-hmm. just randomly. Let me read the book of Esther. A friend of mine from high school texts me out the blue. And I'm like, why are you texting me? Like, we haven't talked in years. Mm-hmm. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading the book of Esther, trying to get my life right. Leave me alone. He said, you know, I read the book of Deuteronomy. I think we're the chosen people. And I was like, what? Dude, come on now. So I went to Deuteronomy 28 and I read the curses. Mm-hmm. And literally as I was reading, I was like, this sounds like us. So I went on Google. And I typed in, you know, Black people, chosen people. And of course, the Hebrew Israelite camps popped up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching the YouTube videos. I'm like, I don't know about this. You know, there's like, you know, they're talking down on them more than preaching the word. So I'm going to put that to the side. I'm going to do my own research. Mm-hmm. So I started reading the book from Genesis 1, chapter 1. And I got to Genesis 10, where it had the genealogy. Mm-hmm. And I started Googling the names, because I didn't know what they meant. And I came across Ashkenaz. And once I found out who Ashkenaz was, it was like a switch. Because if they're from the line of Japheth, mm-hmm. and these curses are about us, everything makes sense. And me being in the military, knowing what the mission of the military is, or one of the missions, mm-hmm. everything just made sense to mm-hmm. me.
You know. So where do you think people should start with? We'll start with males first. Where do you think men should go? What scripture, what chapter, or what book should males go to when they want to first start waking up, or they want to wake up? Where should they go? Because I think a lot of young brothers just don't know where to go. Like, they just know, if anything, they know a little bit about the Bible, and they know Revelation and Genesis. That's pretty much all they know, and maybe a little bit of Exodus. But where should they go to actually establish within themselves who they are?
Go to the New Testament first. Mm. Read the Gospels. Knowing who you are and knowing who the Israelites are not and all this is not going to matter mm-hmm. if you do not have a personal relationship with the Most High. Mm. Start with the Gospels and realize that you're reading about your people. Start with the Gospels, and then I would suggest going back into the Old Testament and starting from the beginning. You know, we kind of need, time is ticking. We need to get people up to speed. Right. I personally had a little bit more time, so I started in the Old Testament and I read it through, but I would suggest people start in the New Testament first, then go back to the Old Testament.
Okay, and as a female, where should you go?
New Testament.
Same thing?
Same thing, yep, the Gospels, because the most important thing is having a relationship with the Most High. Make sure that He knows you, and then, you know, go back and learn, like, the history. One resource that's a very good source that I used was Truth Unedited.
Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody using Truth Unedited.
Yes. And, you know, I feel like I was one of the, like, the original followers, because I was following him back in like 2018.
Okay.
Like when he started his History of Religion series. Mm-hmm. That's why I recommend Truth Unedited on YouTube, because I followed him like from the beginning.
Okay.
And I see how consistent he's been in, you know, he just breaks it down great and gives you great visuals as well. So, yeah. And then from there, especially for the men, Pastor Stephen Darby.
Right.
I feel like he's the perfect, if you, going back to what you said, you know, I need a physical representation, like a physical leader, though he's no longer alive. I feel like that would be a great example. Mm-hmm. You know what it means to be in the Word and still, like, you know, a man right. of God. So
I definitely agree. To switch back to the military, have you had to go through hazing or anything like that, or have you seen a lot of hazing, or hazing changed over the years in the military?
We don't go through hazing. We go through boot camp.
Okay.
In the military, which is a little questionable sometimes, because I'm like, what does this have to do with leadership? you know, it's not hazing. It is boot camp. You're working out, but there are some things that I'm like, what does this have to do with anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not considered hazing per se.
Is the point of the military is to really strip you of your identity, for you to not to know who you are, so you can follow orders blindly, or is it something else? I always had the idea of the military that that's what they do. They strip you from who you are, make you as if you're a number or whatever, and you just answer the call whenever you're called.
Maybe like back in the day, it's a little different now. Mm-hmm. But they do break you down to build you up how they want you to be built up. Mm-hmm. I used to get in trouble a lot because I would ask questions. And you're not supposed to be asking questions. You're supposed to be following orders, which is mm-hmm. funny how I even got into the military, because I've always been asking questions. I don't know how I got in. Well, I do know how I got in. But so, yeah, they break you down to build you up. But one thing about the military, it's very mental. Like the process itself, it's, what's the word? I don't want to say cult, but there is like a level of brainwashing that's being done. Because again, your job is to follow orders. They don't want you questioning what's going on per se. Yeah, but today's military is a little different. It's not as intense as it was like back in the day, like back during my dad's time.
Oh, so yeah. this is you did it because you're the father, or why did you
So me personally, I don't think I did it because of my dad. But I feel like I was influenced because of my dad. Like, I grew up military.
Okay.
Like, I lived on the military base, Bowling Air Force Base, you know, and like lived in Biloxi. And I grew up military. So that's all I knew. And then it's like, when you're grown, it's like, oh, I'm gonna make a decision for myself. I'm gonna go into the military. And it's like, oh, wow, surprising. You know, like, didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think it was like me personally, people might disagree. If my dad sees this, he might disagree. That's fine. But I feel like it was like a generational curse because I was in the military. My dad was in the military. My dad's dad was in the military. Mm. I had an uncle who was in. It's like a family thing.
Okay.
Right? Mm.
Are you the only child or you have siblings?
No, I have a younger brother.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is funny. I'll even add this. In high school, my brother was like in ROTC and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like JROTC. So he was supposed to go into the military, but you know, he had allergies, so they didn't accept him. And then all of a sudden, it's like I got into the military. Mm. So it was weird. I never was pursuing going into the military.
It's just one of those things, like you just slipped into it.
Yeah, a part of me felt like since my brother didn't go in, then somebody in your family has to go in. Mm. So I guess it fell back on me. That's how I felt. But
does he still want to go in or he just laid it to rest?
No, I asked him recently. He said, no. He said, I'm good on that.
How was your father's reaction when you honorably discharged?
He didn't want me to get out, but he was supportive with me. Like he was okay. You know, it was an honorable discharge. So he was like, okay, I'll take that.
Does he know more of why you discharged? Does he understand the truth or have you tried to talk with him about it?
Yeah, I've talked to him about it. But you know, like people have their own thoughts of the military and I take into account, like it's a generational thing. So I feel like the generations before me mm-hmm. are going to think different versus the generations now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a disconnect there. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, being his daughter, his main concern is like, as long as what I'm doing makes me happy, then he's okay. Mm-hmm. Though if he had it his way, I would still be in the military.
I read a verse where Yahusha talks about there's supposed to be a great divide within the household. Two will be against three. Three will be against five. Have you witnessed that? Or when you came into this truth and you wanted to share the truth, obviously it's hard to contain to tell other Black people that, hey, we're Israelites. This is what we are. Did you meet any kind of divide in your family over this issue? Or was it kind of easily understood?
I don't think it's easily understood, but my family is small anyways, so we're really close. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just see that as a blessing. You know, nobody is kind of like, well, I don't want to talk to you because that's what you believe in. So I've really just been blessed. But I do know that when you come into this truth, there is going to be a divide, like within your own household. Mm-hmm. Even in the word, it says your enemies will be of your own household. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I just haven't experienced that, but I am like mentally and emotionally preparing myself for if we gotta go and y'all want to stay here, I already told y'all I'm leaving, you know, so it's understood, but
right.
You know,
because we're talking about, households, how do you prepare? I don't know if you're single, you're in a relationship, whatever, but how do you prepare yourself for your household? It means I'm not saying just stock up canned goods and water. I'm talking about how spiritually do you set up your household? Are you into the feast days? Do you do the Shabbats? Like, how are you establishing your household right now?
So it's a bit hard for me right now because I live with my mom and my brother. Mm-hmm. So I'm in my mama's place. So it's kind of hard to be like, this is what we need to be doing in my mother's place. You know what I mean?
Right,
right. So I was like, girl. So I'll try. So my definition of preparing is just telling my mom and my brother, like, hey, this is what's going on. This is, you know, what we need to be doing. And if my brother's a little bit more susceptible to listen to me than, you know, my mom would, I understand. But I try to like guide them. More so than telling them. So for example, like holidays, I'll be like, oh, I don't participate in like Christmas. And then my mom will ask why, and I'll explain why. And then I'll back off to let her do her own, you know, research. Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, I know as soon as I get my own place, then I'm going to live how I want to live.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a bit difficult right now, but yeah.
So you're doing Passover your own way, or you kind of, is just, that's still a struggle.
It's still a struggle. Like, I'm not participating in the holidays per se, but it is a struggle because my family does participate in the holidays. And when you don't want to, mm-hmm. and you're trying to be standoffish, but yet you live with them, mm-hmm. you know, I just kind of stick to myself or try as much as possible not to partake in that or be like, no, y'all, like, this is what I stand on. And they're respectful, but it is hard when you are attached with people who want to, you know, still be in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, I definitely can understand that. Every day is like a fight, and it doesn't even have to be, really. It really doesn't have to be. I just think, like, when you go back mm-hmm. to, you said that people get comfortable. When you're so comfortable in this system, even though it's beating you upside the head, you still like, oh, I'm so comforted in these holidays because you have government time off. Like, you still get those weekends right. and times off. But when you do the, like, Shabbat and all that, we working. When you do these feast days, we working. There's no time off for that. So I think mm-hmm. a lot of people get caught up into, like, the comfort of this schedule, the comfort of this calendar. And I always go back and forth. I'm saying I always go back and forth, but I know a lot of the argument right now is always, what days are the Shabbat? What days are the feast days? I know if you're not really prepared to do the feast days as it's supposed to, I wouldn't even get into the arguments and fights. And I'm glad that you really don't talk about that on your page, because I feel like it just hinders a lot of what we're doing if we go into the calendar, because everybody's going to be in a different level of understanding and different scheduling based on your free time. It's not necessarily has anything yeah. to do with, you know, you being disobedient to Yah. It's just people's minds are in a comfort zone on certain schedules. But on your page, have you gotten any pushback or any arguments that you see that the step that you put out? Like, what's the major pushback on the information you give?
A major pushback. Probably the most pushback is when it comes to, like, the Greek organizations, like either the military or the D9. I would say that's the most pushback I've received. Mm-hmm. And I really think it just comes down to us not wanting to give up what we want. Because, like I've said before, you know, especially with D9, like, I can understand the military, because first off, they are paying you a good paycheck, especially if you're an officer, you know, so they're paying you money, paying you healthcare, your family's covered, everything. So I understand the pushback when I'm saying, hey, y'all, that's not of Yah, give that up. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to D9, it's kind of like, y'all, we can do this without being a part of the organization. You do know this, right?
Right.
You know, so we're just attaching ourselves emotionally to things we don't need to attach ourselves to.
Mm-hmm. So now, you know, the next thing is going to be for the Black community is going to fall into this trap of reparations, because they won't let that go. Do you think we're actually going to get reparations, or you think it's a scam to get us into the system even harder if we get compensated for slavery that we as a generation didn't really serve in?
All right. So in the beginning of my walk, I was like, oh, we about to get reparations from this country. Like, I'm waiting for my check, you know. But as time has gone on, it's actually an insult, because, like you talked about on your page, the dollar collapse. So they're talking about, oh, we're going to give you all this money in American dollars, and it's not even worth anything. You know, give me gold, give me something tangible, you know? Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, I don't think we're going to receive reparations in dollars from this country, but I do think we are going to get reparations. How or what that looks like, I don't know. Hmm. I don't know. And I feel like like you said, it was probably going to be something where they say, hey, you want some reparations, do this. It's going to be right. stipulations, not just, mm-hmm. you know, y'all are entitled to it, but no, we're going to give it to you, but you have to do this first. Y'all can take that.
Right. I see exactly where that's going. And I know it has something to do with either getting vaccinated, it has to get with the mark. It's going to be like, hey, we'll take care of you. We'll put you in here. We'll give you the 40 acres and the mule if you do this. And I always say people, it's going to come where they're going to trap you with that. And most people are right now are so dumbfounded and beat down on their jobs. And most of it has to do with their own personal decisions, I think. And I think they're just looking to be bailed out of accountability. And most people don't understand that the trauma that has happened to you most likely came from what your parents did, because obviously the scripture says, I will visit the sins of the fathers to the fourth and fifth generation. And I think a lot of young children don't understand that. And then I think young parents don't understand that they are passing on the sins of their forefathers through their generations when they have children and not really preparing themselves to be in this fight, and they're comfortable. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's generational. I think the biggest thing we pass down from generation to generation is the mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been passed down a mindset of relying on the system. You know, mm-hmm. when it comes to doing for ourselves, now we're radical. You know, like, oh, y'all need to pipe down with all that doing mm-hmm. for yourself. Mm-hmm. The generation before us is no better, you know, especially when it comes to reparations. They're like, you know, do this so you can get this money. And it's like, oh, okay. Hmm. You know, it's generational. And I feel like if you're not rooted in Yah and you can't go without, you're not used to going without, mm-hmm. you're not used to denying yourself, you're going to take the bait. And like you said, which is a huge thing, people are being beat down at their jobs. Like, it's tough out here. Ever since being out of the military, it's a struggle. You know, it's funny, when I was a part of their system, I didn't have to worry about anything. Right. You know, now I check my bank account more often. But when you're relying on Yah for him to provide and truly walking in that faith that we're talking about, you develop a different mindset. You can say, no, I'm good on the money. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna stick to what Yah said. And a lot of our people aren't prepared for that. Right. It's about, you know, work smarter, not harder. And that means compromising your values to get to the bag.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's been passed down from generation to generation.
Would you say you're going through a period of the wilderness? Because I think everybody has to go through a period of, they go into isolation in the wilderness. Are you seeing yourself going through that period right now?
Yes. I feel like I'm going through it a little longer than I expected, mm-hmm. you know, because I went through it as soon as I got out the military. I got out in 2020. Mm-hmm. So I went through it as soon as I got out. And then I felt like when I moved back home to Maryland, I was going to be out, but I'm still in it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's just Yah purging me. I know I'm not gonna be here forever, you know, but we talked about earlier is that long suffering. That's part of like long suffering, you know. Yah is concerned about your character and building you up, because if I can survive this, what's down the line, I'll be able to survive that. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is like a training period for us, because nothing has really popped off, if we're going to be honest.
Right.
We haven't even gotten started yet. Mm-hmm. And people are already taking the bait. So right. I know you're going to fold when things truly start popping off. Mm-hmm. So I take it as like a training period. But it's tough, though. It's not an easy walk.
What would you say is your go-to scripture or your go-to book to keep you up in this point of isolation?
Lean not on your own understanding.
Of all the ones you could have gone to, you went. That one cuts me every single time.
That's difficult, because I'm definitely very structured. Mm-hmm. I want something done. It needs to be done that way. Mm-hmm. And leaning not, you know, on your own understanding requires you to die. Talk about this, die to yourself, die to your ego. That is very hard, especially when things around you are just going which way and you get into, okay, I need to solve this situation. Mm-hmm. And y'all is like, no, I'll handle it. And it's like, all right, now speed it up, you know. That's how I feel sometimes. I'm like, can you speed up the process, y'all? I'm struggling here. But lean not on your own understanding. And I have to remind myself that, and that's difficult.
How would you encourage some of the young females or young women in this walk, Gentile or Israelite? How can you comfort them? Because I know a lot of, like I said, the emails I get, they're looking for the covering. They want things to speed up. They're mad mm-hmm. that things are going so slow. So how can you encourage the female in this walk or going through this walk or isolation or wilderness? How can you encourage them to stay on task?
Especially them looking for like a covering.
Yeah. Or like not even just a covering, just they want help. And I know that they want Yah to come out of them clouds to give them a big hug. I know that's what they want. I understand it. I feel it from them. But mm-hmm. how can they stay encouraged? Even in they knowing that it's going to be more than just 7 months down the line, they're going to actually find somebody, but they have to continue to be obedient. And how can they stay encouraged if this walk of theirs happens to extend more than just months and it extends to years?
My advice would be advice I'll give myself is to go back to why you are doing this. Go back to what love actually is. Like, sit down and read what love actually entails. Love is not a feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't wake up and feel encouraged to serve Yah every day. There's mm-hmm. some days where I'm like, you know what, I'm good on it. I don't want to serve you today. Mm-hmm. But it's not about your feeling. It's about your action. Disciplined. Me personally, it's hard for me to encourage sometimes because I don't, in my mind, you know, I just have to be disciplined, right? I have to do things that I don't want to do all the time. And it goes back to dying to yourself. It's not about you. Mm. You know, what encourages me to keep going is going back to why I do this is because I get to do it. It's my love for Yah that encourages me to continue.
I think I really right. need to go back to that one. It's definitely it's not about you. And
yeah,
I be forgetting it. I truly do be forgetting. Every day I wake up, I be like, me, 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 me. And it's so hard to cut that spirit because it's only you in this. It's like when you're in isolation, going through your wilderness period, it's you literally think about you, and you keep forgetting that the reason why you are in this position is for him, is to serve him. I think a lot, like I need to keep hearing. That's why I wanted you on the show. I know it's something you were going to say is going to cut my spirit up to make it me say like, yeah, it definitely isn't about me. And I think a lot of people need to understand that.
Yeah, it's not about them. And just realizing that love is an action. It's not like a feeling, mm. you know, sometimes I feel like people, they lose that feeling and then that's when they stop serving. Mm. That's not what love is. True love.
Mm. Well, that's all the time we got. Like I said, I was really appreciative that you answered and be able to come on the show because I seen your videos, like, this is to be talking. So I needed to pick your brain and see where you were coming from and all that. So you live in Maryland or are you from Maryland?
Well, I'm actually from England, but I was raised in Maryland.
Okay, okay. What part of Maryland? Because I'm from Maryland.
So I'm from Waldorf. Yeah.
That's exactly where I grew up at.
For real?
I'm Charles County, right? Like, like a little bit in La Plata. That's where I live. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yep. Good old Southern Maryland.
Southern Maryland. And the hard part about waking up too is I couldn't eat blue crab anymore. And that's what I loved to eat was that crab with the Old Bay seasoning. That was my thing.
Oh man, yeah, I don't really eat crab like that for real. Mm. I know all the Marylanders are like, girl, I don't eat crab like that.
And it was, it is, when you look at it, it was slave food, like eating pig's feet and all the other stuff. That was like slaves food. And it was like, yeah. It became a community thing that we shared with each other. Like, you ain't black if you didn't eat pig's feet. Like, it was, are you still dietary lawful, or is there stuff that you had to give up?
So I do try to make sure I'm not eating like all the bad foods. I would be lying to you if I haven't had like, you know, chicken and shrimp lately. but I'm on that journey of like cleaning up my diet, because I do know that it is important. I do know that it's not like a salvation issue. Like, if you eat some shrimp, you're not going to hell all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But I do know why y'all put that in there. And I'm not sure, you probably mentioned it, but how it affects your health, especially mm-hmm. in our community. And I'm like, it's probably the foods that we're eating.
Right.
So.
And a lot goes back. I always use this example of when Yahusha called the demons out of the man, and where he sent them at. He sent them in pig. And so what we keep eating, we eating bacon this and bacon wrap this and bacon cheeseburgers. Everything got pork and swine in it.
No, that's so true. That's so true. He did tell them to go to the swine, and then
I was like, why do y'all want to eat things that were made to clean the earth? Like, basically, roaches of the sea, and we're eating it. Like, you wouldn't eat a cockroach on land, but we eating cockroaches of the sea. And people are like, oh, it doesn't matter, it tastes good. I'm like, yeah, but you understand, they're bottom feeders, they're cleaning up. Like, we're eating things that are dirty. Like, that's what makes it unclean. And when you understand the marine kingdom, and you understand where those demons can really operate, where do you think they go? They don't go into clean and healthy things, they go into dirty things, and that's where their habitation is. So, but you tell people doing these mukbang videos and these boils and all this other stuff, they really be forgetting.
And when you see where, I wasn't going to say this, but when you see where these viruses pop off, and you see I ain't going to name no names, mm-hmm. but you see what the people of those nations eat, I'm like, mm-hmm. perhaps these viruses are coming from the foods that are y'all right. eating mystery meat. So, hey.
Right. But thanks again, sister. It's always been a pleasure. What's your Instagram for the listeners to know?
Yeah, so you can find me on all the socials, actually. So Instagram is Makayla Salah. That's MAEKALASELAH. It's the same thing on TikTok, and it's the same thing on YouTube. So yeah, follow me there.
Cool. Thanks again, sis. Keep encouraged. Keep at them. Keep dropping those videos. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. No problem, sis. And that's the reason why I love having these guests on this show. Because you need options. You need different levels of understanding, different levels of walk and journey, so you can hopefully resonate with these people's stories. I really admire this sister because she, came from military background, left all of that, left that generational curse or whatever. And then she ends up doing the work. I like when sis said she's putting action behind her faith. I like that. That's a lot of what we should be doing. Putting action behind our faith. Not sitting on the couch. Not saying, oh, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. No, my faith is strong. It's a mustard seed. I don't have to do much. But just believe. I'm just showing you. There's people that have been on my shows that they're not just sitting on the couch. They don't have to be big names. They don't have to be a Kanye West. They don't have to be, even be your everyday run-of-the-mill Baptist preacher. It doesn't have to be a politician. You don't have to be a star to start working. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be somebody in this matrix to be a threat. If you just started putting, like sis said, action behind your faith. I'll see you guys next time.